Thank you for joining me, Bertie Brits, in today's broadcast of The Love Way. It's such a privilege to share the message of God's mercy with you, because the more we know about the mercy of God, the greater influence God will have in our lives. We should never underestimate the power of God's mercy, the influential power of His unconditional love. The more you know that He loves you, and the more you understand the gospel plan, the gospel scheme, the greater influence God will have in your life. If you are going through a hard time, if you are struggling to get victory in certain areas of your life, I've got good news for you. The only way out of that, the only way to start to live a holy life, is to understand more of the mercy of God. You know, so many times we want to think, well, you know, the mercy of God and the grace of God is just a message that says, well, God's not going to be angry with you and that's it. But now you need to start to go through things, and you need to start to really put in some effort to start and live that holy life God wants you to live, so that more blessing can flow towards you. Now, that is so far from the truth. The truth is that if we can understand the gospel scheme, if we can start to understand what God meant when He gave Jesus, if we can start to understand that we need to grow in the knowledge of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, we will have a greater influence of life in our lives. The more you see that God is a God of mercy, the more you see that God is a God of grace, the more you know what it meant when Jesus died for man, what it meant when Jesus was resurrected on your behalf, and allowing that to happen in your life, the more you'll find God living in you. There's something much greater than just trying to live the holy life. There is something that I call the God life. It is being born of God, having God living in you, and not being born out of your own willpower, which is just, let's say in my life, Bertie manifesting good things. There's a difference between Bertie doing good things and Christ doing good things in the body of Bertie, living the God life in this world. So God wants you to have victory. And I've got good news for you. If you have failed a million times and you have not attained unto what you where you want to be spiritually, man, you're just part of millions of people that's got the very same problem. Christianity is supposed to be a life of victory. But the reason why most people don't walk in victory is because they don't see the victory that's been given in Jesus Christ. And we don't want to rest in the grace of God. Now, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, and I want to read there from verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now that is such a powerful scripture, because He says here that we should not fall away like the wicked or in the error of the wicked. Now I believe the error of the wicked is falling under a system that says by what you do you can become, and not allowing God to live through us. Trying to do the good thing and not allowing God to do the good thing in us. Okay, it says, let us not fall away from our steadfastness. Then verse 18, but grow in grace. So the steadfastness of a Christian life is measured by how much you are in the message of grace. And if you think you're going to be steadfast by the message of by what you do, you're going to become trying to have your peace and your righteousness and your freedom from condemnation in if you forgive or if you don't forgive, if you've given money or if you have not given money, if you've been obedient or disobedient. If you want your steadfastness according to your ability to obey commandments, I've got bad news for you. Because you will not have a steadfast, stable life. The writer Peter clearly says here, he says, let us not fall in the way of the wicked, or fall from our own steadfastness. And then he gives us the key in how to stay steadfast. and not to fall from steadfastness, and that is by growing in grace. Now, it is so wonderful to know that we can grow and excel in the grace of God. And that's what exactly what he wrote in the first chapter of the second letter. He said there that grace and peace should be multiplied unto us. Now, the more grace is multiplied, the more we grow in grace, the more steadfast your love will be. If you want to build your relationship with God on the basis of how you treat your children or how you treat your wife or how obedient you are to the traffic rules, let me tell you something. You will only have a life as stable as your ability to obey rules. You'll only have a life as stable as your human ability, as your flesh, your fleshly ability. Now, I don't want a stability that is based on my flesh, that's based on my human ability. And that's why so many Christians these days have what I call the roller coaster Christianity. You've got ups and downs. And out of that is born all the mountaintop and valley teachings. And that's where all the teachings are born from Canaan land and the desert. You know, today you're in the desert and tomorrow you're in Canaan land, and then God takes you out of Canaan land, puts you in the desert again to teach you something or to purify you or to make you holy or some mysterious, for some mysterious reason, he puts you there. That's where all that type of teaching is born, because man's stability in Christianity and man's stability in his relationship with God was based on what he does, and was not based on growing in grace. Now, how do we grow in grace? The only way we grow in grace is by knowing more of what God has done for us. Remember what we said in the previous broadcasts, and maybe you're watching this for the first time, and I want to just give this definition again. Grace is the divine influence upon the heart and the acting out in the life that includes gratitude. So grace is the divine influence upon man's belief system. Now, for God to influence the way you believe, he had to do a great deal of things. He had to give his son, Jesus Christ. He had to die. He had to be resurrected. He had to give and fulfill the law. And for all of that, because through all of that, you can have a change of what you believe. In the beginning, we had to believe by what we do, we will become. But it's not like that anymore. He influenced our belief system. What we believe about God has changed. If you are still under a law system, you will not believe the right thing about God. You will say, well, you know, God is a God that is so interested in what I do. He's more interested in what I do than what he is interested in who I am. Now, God is more interested in who you are than in what you do. It's the truth. I am more interested in who my son is than in what he can do for me. I'm more interested in who my wife is than what she can do for me. It's the same with friendship. I'm more interested in what a person is, who he is, than in what he can give me. Now, if we are in a relationship, a business relationship, you know, I am more interested in what the person can do for me than in who he is. Now, it's the same with God. So many times we've got a business relationship with God. Well, God is just interested in what I do for him, and then he will even reward me for what I can do for him. If I do these things, then he will reward me and give to me. Now, that is not the system that is a godly system. We must renew our minds and get into grace. Get into what God has done for us instead of what we must do for him. The more you can know what God has done for you, the more you will find yourself doing things for God because of love and a power that flows from your heart. Now, just a very interesting word there. It says there, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, of our Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. But grow in grace. That word in means a lot of things. One of the things that it means is the word in, as it is correctly translated there, but it also speaks of rest. So it can also read like this: grow resting in grace. For you to grow, you need to come to a place of rest. Grow in grace. In other words, grow being in grace. Another word for in is the word rest. Grow resting in grace. So for us to grow in this life, for us to have more of a manifestation of the finished work of Jesus Christ in our lives, we need to rest in the influence that God had upon man through Jesus Christ. And the more we see the influence that He had upon man, the more it will influence your heart. And the more it influences your heart, the more it will influence your actions. Let's not put the cart before the horses. The first thing you must do in life is to see what God has done for you. The more you can know what God has done for you, the more you'll have a change in life. If I fear when it comes to finances, it only means one thing. I don't see Jesus obeying on my behalf in order to get me blessed financially. That's it. We can read that in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. Let's just go there quickly. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Now let's go to verse 9. In this was manifested the love towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. So love is this, that God gave His Son so that we can live through Him. Perfect love casts out all fear. Now perfect love is, if you can perfectly see how He gave His Son so that you can have a perfect life through the life of Christ. We're living through Him. Never think the love of God is just God's emotions of love towards you. No, God has got great emotions of love towards you, but that love was manifested in the fact that He gave His Son so that you can find your life through His Son and through what His Son has done on your behalf. And the more you can see yourself perfectly in the Son, the less fear you will have. Now let's get back to finances. If you fear concerning money, it's because you cannot identify your financial prosperity with the cross of Jesus Christ. It's because you cannot identify with the scripture where God says in 2 Peter chapter 3, is that we need to rest, grow, resting in the grace of God. Now, what is the grace of God? The grace of God is what God has done. What is the influence of God? It's what God has done through Jesus Christ on your behalf. It's called the love of God. The love of God is that He gave His Son so that His Son could influence your life in such a great way that you could become holy, that you could become prosperous, that you could become a giver, that you can receive the nature of God. Now, the more you can see yourself perfect in what Christ has done, qualifying 100% for all blessings in what Christ has done, the less fear you will have. 1 John 4:18, let's read it again. There is no fear in love. There is no fear. Let me change that. Let's look at it a different way. There is no fear in resting in Christ Jesus and what He's done on your behalf. Let's read it with verse 9. The end of verse 9, it says here again, in this was love manifested towards us, the last part, that He gave His Son, that He sent His Son into the world that we might live through Him. So, wherein is love? That we might live through the Son. Okay? Now, verse 18. There is no fear in love. There is no fear if we can understand that we can live through Him. Why do you fear when it comes to finances? Why do you fear when it comes to relationships? Why do you fear when it comes to this normal life? It's because you can still not see how you can live in Christ in that area of your life. Now, when it comes to finances, man, let me put it this way. We can rest in the grace of God. Hallelujah. We can rest in what He has done on our behalf. We can rest. We can grow financially. We can grow spiritually. And when I talk about spiritually, I'm talking about the renewal of my mind. Having more knowledge of what God has done for me. I believe in my spirit I cannot grow because I have been perfected in my spirit. When I was born of God, I received the very Spirit of God, and His Spirit made my spirit as God is, 100% holy. But in my mind, I can grow by resting in grace. My mind will be renewed every day into what God has freely given me. So let's grow by resting in the grace of God. Let's be set free from all types of fear by knowing more of God's grace. Man, isn't that powerful? How do we have access to this grace? And I said this in the previous broadcast as well. Let's go to Romans chapter 5 quickly. And man, it is so powerful. The way we've got access into this grace is by faith. Let's read it. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. What grace? Being justified by faith. That is the grace we've got access into. Let's turn to Romans 4 quickly. And let's look at faith and how this whole thing works. Verse 5. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So faith that says the ungodly is justified by God. Justified means to receive the blessing as if you have never sinned. That is justification. You are made righteous by believing in what God has done for you. And justification is receiving the recompense or the blessing because you are righteous. So we are justified by faith. How? By believing in the God that justifies the ungodly. Now, God justifies the ungodly. Hallelujah. Now, if we cannot believe that God justifies the ungodly, we will not have access into the grace of God. We will not grow. The only way for you to grow is to have access into God's grace. The only way you have access into God's grace is to believe that God justifies the ungodly free from their works because of what God has done in Jesus Christ. Man, isn't that powerful? So if we want to grow spiritually, if we want to apply 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18, we need to know that the grace of God, which is the influence that God has upon man, we can rest in that grace. That's the word believe. The word believe is also the English word trust, which means to rest your mind in the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship, and sound principle of another person. So if you can rest your mind in the integrity of God, if you can rest your mind in the fact that God is such a God of integrity, that He's willing to deal with you the way He is dealing with Jesus, where He's seated at His right hand, because He said that Jesus is your representative, and He said that Jesus influences your life through the obedience of Jesus. I mean, how has God influenced my life? If it comes to finances, for instance, if it comes to this normal life, if it comes to putting in petrol in my car, putting tires on my car, caring for my children, how has He influenced my life? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 9. You know the grace of God. What is the grace of God? The influence Jesus had on my behalf or in my life through His obedience. Jesus obeyed on my behalf so that I can prosper in every area of life. Now this is what He says. He says here, verse 17, I want to read it again because this is such a wonderful thing. We should not fall away with the wicked. This is what it says. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow resting in grace. Grow by resting in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what should we do? We should grow resting in grace and getting more knowledge through that of who God really is. Man, isn't that powerful? You know, I just arrived from a crusade we had down in Scottsburg and also in Belita, close to Belita. We were there in a squatter camp with the Dutch Reformed Church. Man, it was such a powerful crusade. Those young people from the Dutch Reformed Church saw signs, wonders, miracles through their hands. They just saw people throwing away crutches, deaf people here, people with arthritis being healed. You name it, they got healed. Many Hindu people got saved, gave their lives to Jesus Christ. And we saw the grace of God. Hallelujah. At the end of this broadcast, we're going to look at one or two miracles that happened at that crusade, just to encourage you to see that the grace of God is not just a theory. It is something that changes lives. It's something that makes you live the life Christ lives today. It's something that brings forth God in your life. And that's what we need to walk in. God wants you to have the God life in this world. And the only way for you to have that is through the grace of God. Amen. Man, that is so powerful. Let's quickly go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're quickly going to have a look at verse 10 there. It says, of which salvation the prophets has inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, isn't this powerful? The prophets of old prophesied of the grace that should come to us. Now, let's read verse 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported, which was the grace, unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, which the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now look at this. There was Old Testament prophets that prophesied about the grace that was to come. What was that grace? It was the gospel that was preached unto us, which the angels desired to have a look into. Now, I want to end this off this way. In the Old Testament, people desired and they prophesied and, you know, they realized that this message of grace was not for them, but they were prophesying so that we could receive it and that they would enter into grace with us. And then it also says that the angels desired to look into this grace, into the influence God will have through Jesus Christ upon man. So if the angels of heaven couldn't wait to see grace, who are we to say that the message of grace is just a license to sin? You cannot say that. If you ever bring those words over your lips that says, you know, the message of grace is just being used as a license to sin, you are abusing the finished work of Jesus Christ. Be careful. It is something that is so precious that the angels waited to enter into that and to see that. Grace is one of the most awesome things that has ever crossed this planet. The message of what God has done on your behalf. Let's grow resting in the influence that God has on our behalf. Amen. Let's quickly have a look at one of the miracles that happened at this crusade. And then through that, I also believe faith will come into your heart and just receive your miracle with that. God bless you. Our ministry products are available for a donation of any amount. Please write to us and send your prayer request and praise report to the number on the screen. Amen.